Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello. Happy Friday to all of you, wherever you might be. This is Donna Sebo, and I'm delighted. I am delighted to be able to share this time with you. And we're not going to just talk about mind power today. We're going to talk about father power, right? But with that comes a lot of love, a lot of understanding. And more importantly, I think the gentleman that I am interviewing today, Keith Zafran, has done something that is so needed. He has come out and, as a man, talked about what fatherhood really is all about in his perspective. But more than that, he shares stories and experiences about other men. And we don't often hear this. Women are usually so open and so able to communicate about their pains and sufferings frequently. They'll find some venue if they can, where they'll do this, where the guys usually stay locked up. Gals, does this sound pretty familiar to you? Well, How to Be a Great Dad, No Matter What Kind of Father You Had, is the book that Keith has put together. That is what we're going to be talking about today. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. I'm really glad to be a part of it today with you.
You are a man that has put so much in this book, and it obviously was a very strong personal journey for you. But I also was very impressed with the fact of the openness that many men who really take pride in being men first, but also really value fatherhood. And
yes,
I get so weary. I don't know about anybody listening to the show today, but I get very, very weary of what I call male bashing. And it, I know, has been very difficult for guys because socially we have changed our modalities, our paradigms as to a man's role. But it has always been important, the role of a father. It has been exceedingly important. And yet we have such high numbers of abuse, abandonment, just so much pain for men. And your book, I think, addresses this so that men can come into a sense of positioning with themselves. And that's big. That is big. Why did you decide that you wanted to take on this task?
Got a great question. Yeah, I think it grows out of at least two things, Donna. One is my own personal journey. I grew up with a dad who left our family when I was seven, who rejected me numerous times over the years, telling me he never wanted to see me or talk to me again, who ultimately abandoned me as an adult, telling me he didn't even want to be my father, and I didn't talk to him again until I found out he was dead. So there was tremendous pain in my childhood and even in my young adult years of not getting what I needed and wanted from my dad. It took me a long time to recover from that, to heal from those wounds. And the reality is, when I became a new father, I felt bewildered. I had no idea what to do because I had so little from my own dad, no real model, and I wanted desperately to be a better dad to my children than I felt my dad had been to me, but I didn't know how to do it. So I spent years working on my own inner life, the wounds that I carried in my psyche from the pain of abandonment from my dad. And I spent years reading books, seeking out good fathers who could mentor me and show me what it was to be a dad. And as I grew to be a more effective and much more fulfilled father myself, I just felt such a desire, you might even say a passion, to begin sharing my experience with other men. at that time in my life, I had the opportunity to spend 6 years going into a prison in Texas to work with men who had been incarcerated, men who were sons, of course, of their own fathers. So many had experienced wounds like mine, some even much more severe, many of whom had children. And over that six-year period, I worked with about 600 incarcerated dads and helped them heal their father wound and reach out to about 2,000 children in total who ended up receiving their father's love for the very first time.
That is a very, very powerful. That's a very, very powerful experience. Very powerful experience.
Extremely.
Now, your book.
And it was life-shaping for me.
Mm-hmm. I can see where it would be. And it also shows how when you put this book together, you were coming from a positioning, not of just flapping your lips, but coming from a positioning of saying, look at me, this is part of my journey. So this is a very personal story. This is a book that when you pick it up, and ladies, I'll tell you what, I would recommend that you pick up the book and you read it yourself, because it gives you a view of what men need. And you have three sections in your book. You have the first section is about three crucial fathering skills. The second one is about healing a father wound. The third one is about taking action. And then you also have an epilogue in your book. Now, I'm going to sort of bounce around with the different points that I discovered when I was going through your material. And I was so impressed that from a man it was stated, and it's something that I have discussed for years when I've been counseling women who are single, who do not have men in their lives that can play a father role for their sons and for their daughters, but especially for the sons, that in just about every culture in the world in the past, the role of initiation into manhood was something you had to earn. It just wasn't given to you. You had to earn it. And the elder men would take the young men through it. And I'll refer, let's say, to the native culture. A young man, a young boy, to earn the right into passage had to go on a vision quest, depending on what tribe he belonged to. And in that vision quest, he had to endure things all by himself. Now, there was an elder, they didn't know it, but there was an elder that was in the shadows somewhere watching to make sure that no harm came, because they knew that this is a boy entering into manhood. It's very, very difficult, I think, at least in my experience, for women who seem to go through a natural initiation, but with the males, they actually have to be taught by other males. And there comes a time when the female needs to understand that. And this is something that you bring out in the book. And it's not good. It's not bad. It is just part of that stepping into manhood that is so important.
Yes.
And this is something you touched on very, very significantly in part of your material. And it was a big, I went, thank heavens, I'm so glad to hear a man talking about this. Because it's very difficult for women to understand this with their sons.
Yes. And it's something that, you know, no matter how wonderful a mother is, and there are so many good mothers, that it's not something a mother can do for particularly a son. That son needs to be initiated or called into his manhood by another man or group of men.
And this is something that I think some men are beginning to become aware of. And I think that the organizations that you mention in your book, where men are supportive of men, and there's the older generation that will work with the younger generation, it is so very, very important. You say there are three crucial fathering skills: affirming, accepting, and being affectionate with your children. You have three sons yourself.
I do. I do. And, they're 11, 13, and 15 now.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, they're in those wonderful expansive years of coming into
their
own.
It's awesome.
It is. It is a lot of work. Now, when did you wake up to this, affirming, accepting, and being affectionate with children? Because children are a lot of work.
They are a lot of work. But, you know, one of my father mentors, I mentioned I went to Good Dads. I studied fathers in the community where I was, and I went to dads and asked them, you know, how did you do this? I looked at the relationships they had, particularly those who had great relationships with their teenage children.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many teenagers do not have good relationships with their parents. And I saw families where teenagers loved being with their parents. Parents loved being with their teenagers. And I went to those dads and I said, how did you do this? This is the kind of family relationship I want to create when I'm a dad. How did you do this? And the answer I got back, particularly from the two men who spent the most time with me mentoring me, both of them said the same thing. They said, if you do your work in the first 3 years, so the rest of it is easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you can set up the teenage years by the time a child is three? But they insisted that if you were present, you gave to them the kind of affirmation and acceptance and affection that I talk about in the book, and you poured that on early, they said you actually coast to some degree because the relationship is so strong. And I didn't believe that, but I tried it. And I made a huge effort when my boys were young to spend as much time with them as I possibly could to nurture that bond the way a dad does and to practice these three crucial skills that all dads can master and all kids need. And
you
I'm
have a core
very
fiber.
Humbled and happy to say that I have great relationships with my teenagers now.
Yes. There's a wonderful photo of you with your sons. It's just, it tells the story quite adequately from their faces and their eyes.
Donna.
It's just a fabulous photo. There was a quote in your book by Tony Dungy, who was a former NFL Super Bowl winning head coach, and he made this statement, "We have a whole generation of men who don't understand how much they mean to their kids." Now, there is a historical point of information that you bring out that I think is very valid, and that is every generation has its modeling, if you will, and especially through media. I will mention that today. And it has been very distressing to me, and I've been involved in media for so much of my life, to see the male role models that are often put up in front of young kids, male and female, but especially the male. And I look at some of the harshness, the foul language, the literal brutality. And it's like, this is what makes a man. And it isn't what makes a man. It's not, and I find women even confused about this. We've got such distorted pictures. Now, you were willing to go out and seek. You were willing to say, I want to do this. I've got this family. I've got these wonderful boys. I want to be the best father I can be. But there's a lot of people that feel so lost, just absolutely lost. Their role models were literally non-existent. They're being bombarded with all this garbage, with these false images. And what would you say to someone if a woman is listening saying, oh, my goodness, how I wish I had a husband who would give time to his children, the daughter, the son. I just so yearn for that. And the man's isolated. What would you say to someone? What would you tell that woman, besides telling them to get the book? Because I really think the book needs to be read by women as much as the guys. What would you say to someone if you had a conversation with them about that?
Donna, I think I appreciate you asking the question and also affirming that the book is, although ostensibly written for men, also extremely helpful for women. And I put several endorsements in the book from women, even one of my editors, who was a woman, who she said, you know, I'm not even the target audience for this book, and I cried my way through it. It was so powerful for her in understanding her relationship with her father, she said, and then also her teenage stepsons. or her grown stepsons. I actually do some work with women. I've written an article for women who ask that very question. What can I do to help my man be a better dad? And I can give you very quickly the five things that I say to women. One is to trust him with the children. Trust him with the children. Don't hover over. He's not going to do it right all the time. He's certainly not going to do it the way you do. But the more you trust him with the children alone, go out and leave him alone with the kids. Have him take them sometimes to the dentist or to the doctor. Let him learn to manage the children on his own, because that's when he will bond with them. I've actually written an article I've published in a few different magazines called How a Mom Can Help a Dad Bond with Their Baby. So tell some great stories in there. And if anyone contacts me because of your show through my website, which I think we'll give later, I'd be happy to send them for free that article, How a Mom Can Help a Dad Bond with Their Baby. So I teach women to trust the man with the child. Secondly, to praise every effort to nurture. Praise him. So every time a dad helps a child who has a skin knee or a little girl who's crying over something, every time the dad scoops up a child or tries to nurture in some way, I encourage women, find that opportunity and praise him for it, because we men live for praise. We live for it. And what you praise, women, we will do more of. And unfortunately, sometimes women who want to see us do more will take a little bit different tact and criticize what we're not doing, which typically shuts many of us men down. And if the idea is to get us to do more of something, then find some area where your man is doing that right and praise him for it. I mean, it's a little bit like Pavlov's dogs, I hate to admit, but the reality is it's true. We love praise, and when we're praised for something, we're going to figure out ways to do it more. So praise every effort to nurture. Third, make home a place where he wants to be. Make home a place he wants to be. Because the reality, Donna, as I express in my book and with the men that I've worked with for years, is that most of us men did not get enough affirmation from our fathers. Most of us still long to hear our fathers say to us, I'm proud of you. We just, most of us just didn't get enough of that. And what happens is that many of us men, even without knowing it, we are subconsciously seeking our father's approval and affirmation. And so we go anywhere we can to get that affirmation. And what happens is that most of us men end up getting that through our work, because we have figured out how to fix things and how to perform. Most of us have been trained for whatever it is we do, whether it's blue collar or white collar or academic or career. We've been trained for it, and so we're pretty good at it. And we get the kudos and the affirmations and the praise that we're looking for generally at work. We can get a raise. We can get a bonus. We get an office. We sometimes get a car. We get kudos and pats on the back from our managers and bosses. And we love that. And I think, Donna, that's why so many men end up spending too much time at work and not enough time in family. Because sometimes men are feeling like they are inadequate, untrained, ill-equipped, and sometimes even criticized at home. And they don't want to be there. We hate being where we feel inept. We love being wherever we're being praised. And so if a woman can understand that, even though it might feel a little weird and it might not feel totally authentic at first, if a woman can understand that most of us men are affirmation junkies, and they will learn to make home a place we want to be by affirming us, which is the fourth principle, affirm him as a father. If I'm being affirmed at home, if my woman, my partner, my wife is telling me often what a great dad I am, how wonderful it is to have me home for dinner, do you see how the kids light up when you come in the door? Oh, I wouldn't want another father on earth besides you. statements like that will draw men home, will draw men into being better fathers, because we're getting the affirmation that we're starved for. And the last thing I say to women is just to dream. Dream with him about new and creative fathering experiences that he can have with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us dads are not super creative, and we don't know what to do. It's just easier to sit down and watch TV with the kids. But there are so many things that we can and ought to be doing with our children, boys and girls, and women can help us dream up and think up things. Hey, have you thought about taking Johnny fishing? Or what would it be like if you went and bought a baseball and you guys started playing baseball in the backyard? A lot of us dads are willing to do those things. We just don't think of them. And if our wives or our partners can dream with us, help us be creative, it can really help us be better dads.
One of the points that you bring out in the book, and you brought up your dad, you go into quite a bit of what happened in your own personal life, which I think is very good. You said your dad never grew up to be a man. And you say this is what a man needs to achieve in order to become a capable husband and father. I can't tell you how many women will make the statement, I have a husband that's like a two-year-old.
Yeah.
And there is that responsibility of the male, and that's where having a good role model is important. And that brings out the key that you said, there must be a commitment on the part of the man as a father. He has a responsibility. This is very important. And I can remember a gentleman that I knew a number of years ago who he and his wife were not happy together at all. And he had three beautiful children. And so he and his wife were able to have an amicable agreement as far as the divorce went. But he said, I want you to know something. I'm going to stay close by. The kids need to know that they will always be able to interact with me. And we need to be able to agree on this. They need to know that whether they're at your house or at my house, we're still a family, even though we're divorced. It may go contrary to the picture, but we're still a family. And every one of his kids, if there was a rule, and it was something that he and his ex-wife agreed upon, and they were a real team throughout the growth and development of their children, and the kids understood that for some reason mom and dad weren't together, but they worked together as a team. He did not abandon his children. He was very much involved with them, and he was less than a mile, I think, away from his ex-wife. And she remarried, and there was all kinds of good things, and he was a father. He really said that was very important to him. You have a powerful story in here about a man in prison who had run out on his kids and finally reconnected with them because of the work that you did after 6 years. And it totally changed his life.
Completely, yes. And that man, his name is Bobby Colombo. He's now out of prison. He's been out a couple of years now, has reestablished beautiful relationship with his daughter, who I think is now 12, and his son, I believe, who is 9. And he's divorced from his wife, but he, like the man you were just saying, is a very committed father. He spends time with them. He adores them. He writes to them when he's not with them. He doesn't live as close. He's about he's maybe 60 miles away. So he writes to them. He calls them on the phone. And when he's with them, he is completely available to them. It's a beautiful thing to see when a dad, especially a divorced dad, because it's so easy to lose connection with your kids. But all dads, when they commit to being with and spending time with their children. And I want to say a word about that too, Donna, because it's amazing. Child development studies are beginning to show something that many of us separated and divorced dads need to know. That for years there was this discussion about quantity versus quality time. And, you know, many people pushed for saying that if you don't have quantity time, the quality time doesn't count, and on and on and on and on. But what is beginning to be discovered through child development research is that it really isn't about how much time a dad spends with his children or even in a sense, the kind of activities they do, i.e., some of the quality time, it is really about how close a child feels to his or her father that makes all of the difference, even up to 25 years later, the longitudinal studies are showing, in the positive impact on a child's life. It's really about how close a child feels. And so I have developed, as you know, these three core fathering practices that will help children to feel close to their fathers as dads practice them. And it's what I do all the time with my children. And I'll even ask them, you know, do you know how much I love you? And I'll ask them, do you feel close to me? And they'll say yes. And I say, I'm so glad because I love you so much. And I feel so close to you, and I always want us to be close. So I travel quite a bit, but I'll talk to my kids by phone or I'll Skype with them. And in a five-minute conversation, I can make sure by the way I talk to my boys and the way I look at them and the way I speak to them that they are feeling close to me. Mm-hmm. And it makes a huge difference in that child's life.
Well, we're going to be celebrating all of the fathers this coming Sunday. And your book, How to Be a Great Dad, No Matter What Kind of Father You Had, I think would make a wonderful gift, first of all. But secondly, I really would encourage those of you women that perhaps are dealing with some issues with your own children, or you have maybe even an issue relative to your father. I think that Keith's book goes a long way into opening up the door of understanding. And I really like, Keith, that you have all kinds of suggestions in here for men so that they can find, if they don't have a good role model, or if a woman doesn't have a good role model, there are options to work with so that there can be a better harmony and balance. Now, you've got a website called thegreatdadsproject.com, and dads is plural, thegreatdadsproject.com.
And it's actually .org.
I beg your pardon. Thank you for correcting me. It's .org. And this is something that I think anybody can benefit from. I know this book is going to be going to a member of my family who is a single dad and went through a very abusive situation when he was growing up with a parent that was exceptionally angry, just angry, and he was the eldest. So this book, I think, will have a tremendous impact on him because he has a young son of his own. And the little boy is just turning a year. So this book is going to be gifted to him. I want to thank you, Keith Zaffron, for being my guest today. For those of you listening, celebrate the Father's Day with joy and know that there is a way to connect. If you feel, as a man, that you really would like to know more about how to be a great father, this book will help you. How to Be a Great Dad, No Matter What Kind of Father You Had. And for you gals, if you want to help the man in your life, why not get it? Read it first. Maybe get two, get one, so you have your own copy and you can mark it up any way you want. And then pass one along to him and encourage him to read it. I think it'll make a great deal of difference. Keith Zaffron, thank you so much for being my guest today, and happy Father's Day to you.
Thank you so much, Donna, and let your listeners know that they can get that book if they want to at my website, thegreatdadsproject.org.
Fabulous. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away. More good things to share.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance your physical needs with your busy schedule is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors. A bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. It can be used anytime, anywhere. First thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. and is a weight loss appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used. No caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Visit Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information.
We see it every day. Courts overflowing with frivolous lawsuits. People losing all of their assets simply because they were unprepared. The best defense against unscrupulous predators and creditors is a good offense. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes and from all over the world create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Think asset protection is only for the wealthy? Think again. Our Cover Your Assets strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Industry leader Corporate Direct is owned and operated by attorney and best-selling author Garrett Sutton. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can tailor a CYA plan for you. That's CYA, Cover Your Assets, with Corporate Direct. 1-800-600-1760. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
Do you have a product or service that you would like people to know about? Internet radio is a powerful medium that can assist you in reaching people who like to shop online and pass by electronic word of mouth information about you, your products, and or services. The Donna Sebo Show reaches around the world, and you can be part of that enterprising network. For more information, contact Vision Broadcasting via Donna at DelphiInternational.com.
Or call 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I wanted to share with you a little poem that just fits what I'm looking at right now. And when I say looking at, I mean literally looking out of my office window as I'm chatting with you today. Hummingbirds. We just have such an abundance of them in our environment. And this is the time of the year when we have many of them migrating through the area. So there's a number of different species, and it's just a joy when they all of a sudden will flutter their tiny little feathers, and they're this gorgeous, radiant grouping of colors, especially the red. That's my favorite. And you just get mesmerized by them because they're so tiny, and they're just incredible to watch. Well, W.H. Hudson wrote this. He said, "Have you ever observed a hummingbird moving about in an aerial dance among the flowers? A living prismatic gem that changes its color with every change of positioning." And that it is. It is just absolutely incredible to watch these amazing creatures. And, of course, it's so much fun for me when I'm out walking here in the Pacific Northwest in my own area of green and color. It's just marvelous because there's so much going on. We'll see a red-tailed hawk. And there was the other day this red-tailed hawk that was just surrounded by all kinds of crows. Apparently, he got too close to a nest, and he was being chased away. And to see this magnificent bird surrounded by all of these crows that were saying, "Get out of my space," is really something to see. And to watch the action of nature, to watch the support system of nature and how it works, the warning system, the sound that go into play. It was quite an experience to watch that. So when you're outside, and hey, this is summer, you should be outside, you should enjoy it, open up your ears, open your eyes, take off your sunglasses, and really look at what's going on around you. It's an amazing, amazing happening. So I wanted to share that with you. I'll be sharing some summer horoscopes. We've done Cancer, Capricorn, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Sagittarius, Scorpio, and Libra. So today we'll go with Leo in Aquarius, but that's going to be in a minute. I'm sure you have heard on the news the big media blitz that's been going on about a little girl who is dying because her lungs weren't working. An old law that had been put into place saying that a child had to be 12 or older to get a lung transplant had been put into place years ago because they didn't have the technology we've got today. Well, there was a ruling, as all of you know that have listened to the news, that changed that. And it was changed rather quickly, partially because of the media exposure. This child may or may not survive from the experience, but the odds are today she will survive because she was given a lung transplant. Well, I wanted to share a story with you about a woman, Shirley Thompson. She had damaged lungs, but it wasn't just that. Her story is quite amazing. Three words were very important for the entire family. Don't give up. Even the doctors were amazed at how things evolved for Shirley. So let me give you a little bit of background here. She was a mother of two, 47 years of age. She lives in Florida, and she was noticing a shortness of breath. What do we do? We just ignore it. Don't you do that when your body gives you a signal? You go, I'll just ignore it. I'll just keep on going. We all think we're like the Energizer bunnies. Well, she was saying to herself, I'm getting older, I'm out of shape, and she was saying, I needed to do this. So, you know, we go into our heads quite a bit. Well, she went in for a checkup. And her doctor found out, after doing some tests, that she had severe pulmonary arterial hypertension. It's called PAH, P-A-H. Now, they call it a disease. It creates high blood pressure in the arteries of the lungs, and it's deadly. And medication might help, and being on oxygen could also help her. But they said, as far as the doctor was concerned, there's no cure. We do not know how to fix this. This is a doctor with integrity. He told her the truth. Now this stunned her. 47 years of age, you have this said to you, you just cannot even wrap your mind around it. It's very difficult. Her husband, his name is Bob, is a very optimistic type of personality. He said, it's okay, we'll get through this. Now, Shirley immediately had to start taking oxygen. And she had to be very careful about what she did because her lungs were in very critical shape. And it was horrible for her. She didn't like it. Who does? Look at the people we see walking around with oxygen tanks. You think they're having fun doing it? Maybe not. But today's technology has improved, so they've got smaller packets and they're able to have mobility in life. Otherwise, you might be at home. Well, Shirley didn't have the mobility because of the critical situation with her lungs. She couldn't go anywhere. She had no energy. Well, she went to the Mayo Clinic, and they found something else was going on in Shirley's body. They found her ovaries, for some reason, were growing. They were enlarging. They had to give her an emergency hysterectomy. If they didn't, she was going to hemorrhage, and she'd bleed to death. Well, in her condition, surgery is very risky. The lungs were already in very, very bad shape. And this is something, when you put someone under anesthesia, they can die on the operating table because their lungs aren't functioning properly. Well, she was asking a lot of questions. Now, the surgery, they performed the emergency surgery. When she came out of the surgery, she was in excruciating pain. Her lungs had collapsed. The cardiac tissue in her body tore because her heart had become weakened due to the condition of her lungs. So she now had a hole in her heart. Get the visual? Lungs collapsed. Just gone through major surgery where she could have bled to death. They took care of that. Because of the stress of the surgery, plus all of the other things going awry with her body. She now has a hole in her heart. Unbelievable. Well, they put her on life support and put her into a medically induced coma. And the doctors told Rob what she really needed was a double lung transplant. But they were terrified about even trying it. And the whole family, they said, we're sorry, but we just want you to make your peace with her and be willing to say goodbye because we just don't know how she's going to get through this. However, her husband, Bob, begged the doctors not to give up on her. They said she would want a transplant. She's a fighter. Don't give up on her. I know you're doing everything you can right now, but don't give up on this. Well, the doctor promised to do everything he could. And he said the average wait for a lung transplant is 7 months, and it could take years to find the perfect match. So it's going to take a miracle to find a donor. Now, this is a reality. If ever you've known of anybody that has had to have any kind of an organ transplant, it really is very, very tough sometimes to find a match. However, 4 days later, the doctor was notified that a pair of compatible healthy lungs, he could do the surgery. So it took a team of surgeons to repair Shirley's heart, replace her damaged lungs, and when she was told how she almost died after the surgery, because of the transplant, her PAH, obviously, was cured. And she said, my goodness, thank you for not giving up on me. 7 weeks after her stay in the hospital, she went home. She said, I've learned not to take a single moment for granted. And she said, I know that there is a purpose for every person, including myself, because she said, I shouldn't be here. I should not be here. That I was given a miracle, a very precious gift. And I tend to pay it forward with every breath I take. 5 years ago, 2 years ago, this may not have even been possible. But in today's world, it can be. So it's very important that you realize that though we have these opportunities, it's so important you take care of yourself, number one. But number two, realize that if you want to be an organ donor, and I know so many people think that this is so depressing to even think about, but you never know. I don't care what your age is. Your eyes may help someone if your experience in this earth is finished. Your eyes, your internal organs, no matter what your age, there may be something that could go to someone else to help them be able to live their life with a quality of experience. So you might want to consider becoming an organ donor. It really makes a difference. I'm going to have a very special interview with a mother whose daughter, when she died, she was quite young. She was able to help a number of people, even with her passing, live quality lives. Give that some thought. It does make a difference. I know we have all these horrible movies talking about, you know, all this cannibalization of the human body and it's being used for financial purposes and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot more going on than that. This is Donna Sebo. Stay with me. Come up. Those of you under the sign of Leo and Aquarius, well, I've got a little bit of information for you. And, of course, if you'd like to chat with me directly, you're welcome to do that. Call 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Too many people become victims of frivolous lawsuits and scammers simply because they were unprepared. At Corporate Direct, we use the latest legal tools to help our clients of all sizes create a strategy to protect what is theirs. Asset protection is not only for the wealthy. Our strategies and tools are very affordable and practical. Give us a call at 1-800-600-1760 or go to CorporateDirect.com to see how we can help you. That's 1-800-600-1760 for CorporateDirect.com.
If you are an author and would like to be a guest on the Donna Sebo Show, please send a review copy of your publication along with a press release to the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for your material to be reviewed. Again, the address to send your material to is the Donna Sebo Show, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. Have you ever had a paranormal experience? such as seeing a ghost, having precognitive dreams, out-of-body experiences, or other happenings? If so, Donna would like to hear from you. She's putting together a book of 100 stories from people who would like to tell their story. If you'd like to submit yours, send an email to donna@delphiinternational.com. Again, send your story to donna@delphiinternational.com. Be sure to include your contact information as well. Thank you.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone number, if you'd like to chat with me, is 888-627-6008. Quickly, I want to share with you some info about the guests that are coming up. We're going to be talking with Ben Glass on Monday, the truth about attorney advertising. Boy, does he really give the lowdown on all of this hype that we often see on television or hear on radio. Do you remember a time when it was illegal for attorneys to advertise? Well, once that was taken away, then we have been bombarded ever since, and we're going to find out the real truth behind a lot of it. Squat sponge, an amino acid, muscle, snack time. I've got news for you. We're going to have on the show with us on Tuesday a wonderful man by the name of Dan Torres, who is an entrepreneur. And because of something that happened with his mother, Dan created a food product that not only helped her, but it's affecting the lives of tens of thousands of people otherwise. So we're going to be talking with him on Tuesday. Reluctantly related, Dr. Brand, this is a topic, my goodness, how many comedy shows have been done this on mother-in-law, daughter-in-law situations, and those relatives that we love to hate or hate to love, you know, how do you want to word it? Anyway, we're going to be going into that. Also, Penny Pierce is going to be with us on Thursday. We're going to be talking about the leap of perception, how intuitive skills and abilities have really been moving forward with people. Why? What's going on? Why has this become something that's much more consciously comfortable for people to discuss than ever before? Well, we'll find out about that. And then W.L. Laney. This is a man who lost everything, and I mean everything. He and his wife didn't even know where they were going to get money for food. We're not talking about a young couple. We're talking about a couple in their 60s. Well, I got news for you. This guy turned things around. He is so inspiring to know about. And it all had to do with a pair of scissors. Aha. So anyway, join us next week. We've got a wonderful array of talented people that are going to be sharing their stories with you. And let's go quickly to those of you. Oh, and if I have time, I wanted to share a balsamic chicken and pepper recipe with you. If you're like me, you want something fast, quick, flavorful, and easy, especially when it's warm. You don't want to spend a lot of time in the kitchen. Oh, not only is this wonderfully fragrant when you're cooking it, but, oh, it tastes so good. I really think it's even better the second day. But anyway, I'll give you the recipe in a minute. Let's talk to those of you under the sign of Leo and Aquarius. Those of you, and this is your summer horoscope. You know what? You need to know that you need to be mindful. Those of you under the sign of Leo, with right with where you are right now. Forget the past. I don't care if you've screwed up royally in the past. Don't worry about it. I want you to realize that where you are right now is what is going to empower you to create the future that you really want. You want to live in the moment. Dream. Don't be afraid to dream. Summertime is a wonderful time for you to dream. Do a vision board. Do, you know, make it okay. Throw aside the shackles of the past. This just keeps coming up with you, Leo. Get rid of the shackles. And if you're finding that you're out of work, maybe you need to sit down and brainstorm with someone else. Say, okay, these are my talents. This is what I really have a passion for. What venues can I explore? What can I look at? Where can I put myself? You may be surprised. Also, take time to play. Now, you Leos really enjoy being out there anyway, but it's okay. Take time to play. This is something you're going to need to do because you really thrive in that. Often you get your solutions to your problems in playtime. When you're relaxed, you're not forcing anything, and bingo, there is the answer. For those of you under the sign of Aquarius, your family life means a lot to you. You are going to find that you feel sometimes a very strong urge just to call someone that maybe you've not been in touch with for a long time, or to write them a letter. Writing letters is not out of style, by the way. Emails don't cut it. There needs to be that communication with people. The voice needs to be heard, or express yourself through writing, or maybe through art, whatever you want to do. But it's that interaction with people that makes a difference. Have small gatherings. You know, maybe have some people over for just dessert, but enjoy the companionship and the communication that you have with those people that mean the most to you. Also, you may be finding that a way of making money for you will come through a hobby. This could be a type of passive income, maybe something that you do on the internet. And you may find people are going to be very interested in you and what you're doing, and they may be very supportive of what you want to do. So be in a learning mode this summer. Be willing to be open and receptive to learning, because it makes all the difference in the world. Also, realize, again, stepping out of your environment into something brand new. I don't care if it's going to a museum, checking out new stores, or just traveling to a different place. Put yourself in a different environment. You're going to feel a lot better. You're going to find your world just expanding phenomenally. So those are the two signs, and I will say next week we'll cover Virgo and Pisces. Quick like a bunny, I want to give you this balsamic chicken and peppers. This is so easy. And you can double this, by the way. It is really an easy recipe. You're going to need 4 boneless, skinless chicken breast halves. This is for the balsamic chicken and peppers. You need a little bit of salt and pepper because you're going to use that for taste. 4 tablespoons of olive oil. You need 1 of the following of each. 1 red pepper, 1 yellow pepper, and 1 large onion. And you want to slice it thinly. You're going to need 3 cloves of garlic. You want to mince that real fine. You're going to need 3 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 4 tablespoons of fresh basil, minced, and 3 teaspoons of fresh thyme leaves, minced. If you don't have the fresh, use the dried. You just might need to use a little bit more. Now, this is how simple it is, really, really fast. Your chicken, you season with a little bit of salt and pepper, 2 tablespoons of oil, put it into your pan, a big skillet, obviously, medium-high heat, put your chicken in, cook, turn it once. You're going to need about 3 to 4 minutes to make it that luscious golden brown on each side. Then you put it, take the chicken out, and you put it on a plate, and you cover it. Have a piece of foil to cover it. Then you add the remaining 2 tablespoons of oil to the same skillet. Leave all of the drippings in the pan. Add your peppers and onion. Saute for about 6 minutes until it's just nice, soft, and golden. If you want, put the lid on the pan, and that'll release the juices. But just let it do its work. Add your garlic after the peppers are cooked. Saute that for about a minute. Then you add your vinegar, your 2 tablespoons of your fresh basil, and thyme. Stir it, and you want to scrape up all of the brown bits that are on the bottom of the pan. Put your chicken back in the pan itself, and any juices from that plate, all of that goes in. And you just want to reduce your heat to medium or low, depending on how your stovetop works. And you want to cook it for about 2 to 3 minutes. You want to make sure the chicken's cooked through, and stir in the remaining basil and thyme. And there you've got it. It is so easy. It is so good. And what you find, if you find that you don't have enough moisture in your pan, you like to have a little bit more, you could add chicken broth, you can add a little bit of water. And what that'll do, that will just reconstitute something that bring the juices to life. It is wonderful. It is so easy and so delicious. Well, my goodness, I'm out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. And for all of you fathers, wherever you might be, you're loved, and you are so needed. I'm glad you're part of this experience we call life. God bless. Have a fabulous weekend. Be back with you on Monday. Bye for now.
Hi.
To the Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.